In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Something seems the wrong way round. In fact, the whole of the Christmas story is a tale of the unexpected. We have heard it so often that we hardly notice it. What is the wrong way round in this episode that we call the Visitation, the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, is that you would expect Mary's song, the Magnificat, to have been sung by Elizabeth. You see, it would be much more logical for Elizabeth to say, "The Lord has looked with favour on his lowly servant. He has done great things for me." The great thing he had done for her, for Elizabeth, was to remove from her the shame and stigma of being a childless wife. For she had failed to produce a child to carry on her husband's name and his priestly line. Now that she is expecting this miraculous child, she can take her place among the other wives and mothers of the village. And it's a theme we find again and again in Luke's Gospel, as people who were excluded are now restored to their place. Tax collectors and sinners, lepers and the ritually impure, they are all restored to their place in society. With Mary, on the other hand, it is different. The chances are that she has gone or been sent to her cousin in the country to keep her away from gossiping tongues in her home village as her condition becomes more and more obvious. Yet she is the one who sings, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. He has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She knows the origin of the child she is carrying. But does anyone believe her? Joseph doesn't, not yet anyway. And her parents probably don't either. Otherwise, why would they have sent her away? And how the good people of Nazareth would react if they found out? Well, it doesn't bear thinking about. But with Elizabeth, it is different. Her greeting is open, warm-hearted. Mary is, quite simply, welcomed. No questions asked. She accepts Mary's explanation at its face value, and her own unborn baby seems to confirm this. No wonder she cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." This meeting of the two women is a sign of the kingdom. There is acceptance, mutual support, and joy. As Elizabeth's shame and stigma have been set aside, so now the potential for Mary's disgrace has been overcome and has been turned into an occasion for joy and hope for a different future. Not for them only, but for all of humanity. And yet, the way Mary tells it in her song seems the wrong way round too. God has not chosen the powerful, the proud, or the rich, the people who would have been quick to condemn Mary. Far from it, he has shown that the honour accorded to them, the proud and the rich, by the world, is of far less value than the honour that comes to those who say, "I am the servant of the Lord," and who do his will. as the rich are rarely satisfied with what they have, always wanting the next thing, as the powerful rarely feel easy with their position, as we know from the story of Herod, they know they could lose their power and their status as quickly as they came by it. But the opposite is true when the poor are lifted out of the ditch, when the marginalized are returned to a place in society, when what looked like disgrace or catastrophe turned out to be a means of a fresh start or a hope for a better future. That is God's way. Elizabeth's welcome and the greeting by her unborn child opened Mary's eyes to this reality, and she burst out, "Everything that is in me rejoices in the God who has saved me." In Elizabeth, and even more so in Mary, we see God at work, restoring, transforming, saving the situation. What the two women realized, we are called to realize in the world about us and to rejoice accordingly. As one of my favorite hymns says, "What Christ's mother sang in gladness, let Christ's people do the same. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace." Amen.